Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
What's happening, everyone? Before we talk about this game once again, if you are new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the thumbs up button as well. Over on Twitter, we're running a giveaway at Broads Media, pinned at the top of the profile, a Zach Ertz jersey on Wednesday. I will be selecting the winner through a random generator. So retweet the tweet, hit the follow button. It's that simple, and you will be entered to win. Other than that, it's basically all I got. Coffee with Broads, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. live stream here on Broads Media YouTube. That's something you should absolutely check out. And with that being said, enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. It tastes just as good right now. I can't lie. This is still an amazing feeling, even though it's been a whole day. Not that I would anticipate it already falling off a cliff, because damn it, we live our lives based off of the outcome every single week. A win on Sunday means I'm good until Friday. A loss on Sunday is I'm not good until the following Sunday occurs, and a victory is the outcome. So basically where we are, I'm studying Nick Sirianni every single chance I possibly can grab. So when he speaks to the media for the first time in the day after a press conference, I'm so fascinated by his personality because it's not normal. It's not standard. There's some goofiness to it, right? But when you listen to him speak and he talks about the game, I'm hearing things that I haven't heard in years out of a head coach. He's talking about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside blocking downfield and him being such a big element to what Quez Watkins was able to do early. And he mentioned Devontae Smith as well, who had some great blocks. And I know it sounds silly to mention that right now, but I bring it up to you because he then starts talking about, one, when assessing the play design, he has it factored into his head. Okay, when we execute this play, this will be the wide receiver down the field making the block. We need someone there who's able to do it. I don't know if Doug Peterson ever had that cross his mind. He basically thought, let's run everyone vertical and let's see what happens. He wouldn't have the secondary thought of who's the blocker that you need out there. And the fact that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is getting praised for his blocking instead of catching the football, I understand how much of a problem that is, but it defines what Nick Sirianni has done to this point, and it's take advantage of what the players do that is solid. Everyone has pros and cons. It's devastating to think about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's cons over the last handful of years, but he does do one thing well, and Nick Sirianni is making sure that that is available for this football team, and it showed in game one. Not only that, he starts talking more about what we're going to do, and he used the word marry. They're talking about, well, there needs to be change to this. We're going to add more to this with our concepts, and I'll have to marry it where there could be catches off of these blocks, so it could be more of a threat, and the play could have options off of it down the road, and that's what I tried to stress over the last handful of years. None of these plays add up. Nick Sirianni is already talking about building off of this concept that they've used and how making J.J. an option and a possibility down the road would then give a similar formation, but it would be a different play and it would be a different look, and you can add to your flow of the offense and confuse the hell out of some defenses. You haven't seen that, and here's what I'm struggling to figure out. Was Doug Peterson so pathetic and so horrendous with play design that we are now claiming Nick Sirianni as one of the young gurus in the league, and this is more basic football knowledge? Doug Peterson just didn't have it? Or is there something cooking in Nick? And I'm trying to figure that out, right? Big time. This is one game. It's a small sample size. I still need time to see if what this was all about occurs next week against a Kyle Shanahan-led San Francisco 49ers. Now, they got some bad news in the running back department. We'll keep our eye out on what's happening there and whatnot, but it seems, you know, the Eagles are going to escape a lethal weapon that is possible of breaking through, and especially with the way that Kyle Shanahan gets creative with a lot of his players, that's absolutely going to impact possibly the outcome of the game. But ultimately, you know, when I'm hearing Nick Sirianni speak, I'm really dissecting heavily his tone, his demeanor, his delivery, the way he speaks. But also, I'm trying to figure out more about just the personality of him. He intrigues me so much because it's wild, because it's bonkers, because let's be realistic, he's unique and his style is very raw and new and it's fresh. So what's he all about? And he starts talking about blocks and he starts talking about what occurs in the game and he's giving you detailed information. Just not used to it, that's all. And I love the fact that he's willing to, and at times it's a little lengthy, okay, Nick, let's wrap it up here. Some of his answers do stretch out, but the fact that it's stretching out because he's blabbering away and giving you all sorts of information, it's nice from that aspect. When he gets asked about T.Y. McGill and cutting players, you know, one thing that really does connect with the players in the locker room like he wants to do, look, that stuff's personal. I'm not going to tell you what I told him because he was asked, what was said in the meeting? Well, I ain't going to tell you none of that. That's personal. That's between us. That's behind closed doors. But, and then he goes on and continues his statement and what happened during that time. I just feel like this is something to me that is about the Nick Sirianni experience. That is still a huge question. Who is this man running the team? Well, it sounds like it's so small and it sounds like it's so tiny and it sounds like I'm nitpicking every little thing that he says and I wonder what it means. But that's because I am. Okay? That's flat out why. Yes, that's occurring. I'm just so happy with this football game, and it feels like it's been forever since we witnessed a team make sense. Nick Sirianni, you got RPOs, you got 12 personnel, 11 personnel, 13 personnel. You got zero backs in the backfield. Good luck trying to figure out the direction that he's going to go. And I love the fact that he alluded to, we're not even close yet. When asked about his offense, it's week one. Yeah, it's only week one. We got more too. There's a lot of good coaches in this league that are going to study that film to try and grab the brain of Nick Sirianni to see the tendencies. But I love their game plan headed into this one. It made so much sense. They're targeting the outsides. They're hitting their receivers on the outsides. Then what happens? Oh, let's start pounding the rock after the second half. Here's Miles Sanders. And it wasn't just pounding. They threw the football to him as well, but they had the excellent blocking. They've made it clear. Fundamentals. Let's do it right. Let's do it the right way. And well, guess what? We're seeing that with the blocking, with the technique. Simplify the technique. Do it the right way. And then there's a big snowball effect that happens afterwards, and you can't deny it because we have seen it. They worked on this for months. This has been in progress since OTAs and early in training camp, and it was steady. I loved what Nick Sirianni had to say here as well, because he was talking about being a broken record. I sound like a broken record, but one day better every day. And I hate to hear that. It's so cliche. But there was a point that he emphasized throughout the press conference today, and it was, you're coaching well if the players know what you're about to say. And he correlated that to us knowing he was going to say one day better every day. But that's what coaching is all about. You drill these theories, these concepts, these beliefs, and the way that you want to operate as an organization and as a team underneath you, Nick Sirianni, as head coach. You know what he wants. 1% better every day. And I hate it. I hate it in theory. But when it's delivered that way, it makes a lot of sense to me. And I love the direction that he has right now, goofy or not. And I had a caller on the Fanatic over the weekend tell me that I'm not allowed to enjoy Nick Sirianni. And there were a lot of media members that bashed him so heavily when he first spoke, which was totally unfair. And now you're flipping into a 180. Look, it's very simple to dissect the in-the-moment reaction to Nick Sirianni. They had to fire Doug Peterson, who just won a Super Bowl. They had to trade Carson Wentz because of the drama and the toxic environment. You drafted Jalen Hurts, and it was a weird situation to be in at the time of the Carson Wentz contract. And they hired Nick Sirianni, who we all claimed it didn't go as smooth as possible, but it doesn't matter as long as he can win football games on Sunday. the awkwardness and the human nature of being nervous in front of media members for the first time in Philadelphia coming from Indianapolis, it's okay to say, you know what, it wasn't that strong, and he did look a little nervous, and it didn't feel like he had confidence in what he was saying. And he's out there. It's okay to say that being a part of the equation as well, absolutely factored in. You were allowed to have an opinion at the time. Imagine telling Philadelphia sports fans or sports fans in general, it doesn't even matter what town you're in. Imagine saying the football team of that city, the fans are not allowed to have an opinion on someone before they do their job. You sure can, based off of their delivery, their tone, and it doesn't always correlate. Doug Peterson was a miserable communicator to the media, and it was a bunch of nonsense. He would talk in circles. He won football games. That's what matters at the end of the day. But to tell Philadelphia, you're not allowed to say a damn word about the first reaction of seeing the head coach, that's ridiculous. It's not the end-all be-all, but you were allowed to have an opinion. It's foolish to think otherwise. What else was stated? The third down defense in the red zone. Nick Sirianni looks at that as 4-point swings. It was so crucial. You know, and if you think about the lead that the Eagles got, that was such a huge key to the way that the Atlanta Falcons got away from the run game and Patterson and getting away from all that, because you have to drop Matt Ryan back and try and get your chunk yards through the air because now you're down. And that's when Hassan Ridgeway and Javon Hargrave started eating and going to work because, well, they were down so much they had to fight back somehow. It's crazy to think about the limited damage, though, by Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. The Eagles' defense did such a stellar job. You saw four pass rushers, Jonathan Gannon getting creative. And you know what? Speaking of creative, defensive coordinator on the other side, okay, for the Atlanta Falcons, DPs, let's not act as if that's an easy task. You're Nick Sirianni going up against Arthur Smith, who had no answers whatsoever. He looked lost. He got outcoached by 10,000 miles. For Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts to look that smooth and structured, that disciplined, that detailed against a defensive coordinator with a ton of praise and respect in this league, you figured there'd be confusion thrown at Jalen, and he looked poised. All these plays made sense. The routes made sense. Hell, Zach Ertz on the outside, who clears space for Devontae Smith to get that touch pass on the outside part of that left side of the field. That's impressive. That's all play design. But when they hiked the ball, they knew where they were going. They didn't do too much. It was about taking, and I know this is a cliche, but taking what was given to them. Not so much vertical routes this time. Let's go east and west. Let's go more lateral and hit players in strides. Or let's go with the bubble. Or let's go with some sort of screen. Let's hit Jalen Reagor off an RPO. Let's get a major Maialato block that annihilates a human being and he might go to jail for murder. Bang. Why? Because the little parts of the game are so bought in. You have to be a certain buy-in player to take charges in the NBA. You need to be a certain style of defenseman to eat pucks and block shots. And it's all about will. You have to want to do it. Rebounding, it's about determination and the want to. Watching Dallas Goedert throw blocks, Jason Kelce throw blocks, Lane Johnson's performance, after all of the flags that were thrown and all the penalties that unfortunately went against the Philadelphia Eagles. Miles Sanders picking up blitzes. Gainwell has some versatility to him. Can't wait to see how he grows and is groomed as a back. Boston Scott, zero touches. I wonder, was that because they just had the flow of the game? Was it because maybe Boston Scott fell on the depth chart to three? Or wait until Kyle Shanahan gets a look at Boston Scott for the first time this year under Nick Sirianni? It's a bit different. Is that an element of surprise? We're going to hold you back, Boston, because Kyle Shanahan comes to town week two. I'm not saying that it's so predetermined to this level, but I wonder if Nick Sirianni utilizes this as an advantage when you head into a new week when San Francisco's flying to the East Coast. They're battling injuries a bit. If you have Nick Sirianni out coaching Kyle Shanahan in a game, that would be magnificent. And I kind of went back and forth with this thought because I expected them to win against the Atlanta Falcons, so I'm not going to change my opinion too much. I'm more optimistic and more excited than I would be for week two compared to if they lost. That's inevitable. I feel that's everybody in this city, every Philadelphia Eagles fan right now. That's the way to feel. That's the right way. But I was thinking to myself in my head, if this team was to beat a squad that I didn't anticipate them beating, then maybe I would start changing my win total because it would, well, make a lot more sense. I saw them winning six games. Atlanta was a spot where I recognized, due to the trenches, that was an area of possible success, and they played it out probably in a way, not probably, it was, in a way smoother way than I ever would have thought, but that's what we got. Here's my counter to that thought process, though. We see it happen all the time where a team on Sunday beats someone they should never, maybe on the road, and then they lose a home game to a horrendous Detroit Lions team, or they lose a home game to a team that cannot get in any sort of rhythm, where they stink, they're embarrassed, their fan base gave up on them. So just because they win a game against a team that they should probably lose to, I can't automatically start getting way too high with the expectations because, well, there'll probably be one that they fall flat on their face at the same time. And look, before we get to the anytime hotline, I want to bring up the fact that the Falcons, I thought early before that two-minute drill happened, you know, you're running the football by your goal line, third down, just playing safe. Arthur Smith really called a safe game, punting the ball back to the opposing squad. Nick Sirianni had his timeouts. Didn't even need to utilize him to that level, and bang, here comes Jalen Hurts and the Birds kind of rocking with all sorts of time and space. If the play broke down, Jalen Hurts knew where to go with it based off of his instincts. His instincts took over, and that's dangerous to be successful. 77% completion rate. He was ridiculous. Jalen Hurts was ridiculous. Somebody asked me during Coffee with Broads, hey, Broads, what would it take for Jalen Hurts to stick around as a franchise quarterback, to be labeled a franchise quarterback? And I responded with, very simple. That's an easy question. That. Play like that. That is a franchise quarterback. If that's consistent, now Bosa's on the other side next week. There's more special talent surrounding that team. They're well coached. Way better coach than Arthur Smith's performance, who was regarded as one of the bigger names to come out of this coaching hires this offseason. And I like that name. I'm not going to lie to you. When I was analyzing the direction of the Eagles, his name popped up a billion times, just like it did around the league as a whole. Didn't look innovative, though. Looked boring. Looked stale. Is that a product of personnel? A product of the team they were going up against? Is it possible the Eagles are nasty and maybe the Atlanta Falcons aren't as bad as they displayed, but the Eagles are a gross team? I had somebody else bring up to me that the reason why the Eagles were good in yesterday's effort wasn't because of Nick Sirianni. It wasn't because of the scheme. They just have better players. Quez Watkins, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders. I'm like, what are you talking about? Look, it's clear that healthy, this team is significantly different than the ones we've seen over the last handful of years with the bajillion injuries that occurred to all their major players, right? That is obvious as hell. With that said, though, Nick Sirianni's scheme is why there's flow to this offense. Jalen Hurts knows where to go. Routes are being ran to open up a specific target and to open up elements to this offense. And then later play calls are all impacted and it's affected. It's a cause and effect. Plays you call in the first and second quarter impact what you can do in the third and fourth quarter when you make serious adjustments at half and head in another direction. The way you target the passing game can open up the middle of the field as well with power running. Or with flipping it off to a running back in Miles Sanders and say, hey, go get me some yards, baby. It's amazing. It was so damn fun to watch. It really was. The first quarter, the Falcons had 144 yards to the Eagles 65. The second through the fourth quarter, the Eagles had 369 yards to their 116. Would I like more shots downfield? Yeah, probably. And maybe that changes due to who they're playing against. Maybe they recognize with who the Atlanta Falcons were, this is a matchup-based scenario where we'll have the intermediate throws for Jalen Hurts. And I hate that I'm hearing, well, it's a game manager. That's all you got, a game manager. You don't have a guy, you have a game manager, if that's the case. If your teammates are doing all the work and you're just dunking it off to wide receivers, please. Did you see how in control he was? That's professional NFL quarterback play. That's what that was. Crazy. All sorts of reactions. It was all over the board. And we're going to hear some of them right now on the Anytime Hotline. Before we do that, the NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 2. Bet just $1 in any NFL game during the second week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more in any Week 2 game. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 2 game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, we're going to get right on into it. Let's hear from you after the game.
What up, bro? Man, this is a much definitely needed win to start off the season. It definitely was electrifying. And I know the city wanted it bad. I smelled grills and propane like 7:30 this morning. So I already know everybody was getting ready, getting fired up for the game. But we definitely needed this, and I didn't really go into it with high expectations. I expected a win, but I still kind of expected, like, you know, obvious rookie mistakes from Jalen. But, you know, he outperformed that expectation. And I expected a little chemistry issues with the defensive line because we got a new defensive staff. But, you know, they did well as well. So, you know, I think this is a well-balanced game. Nothing was forced. And it just showed we was just patient, and all the players just looked energized and focused. Like,
no, absolutely. I think you said it perfectly there towards the end by just saying they looked in control. They were poised. It was a team that was prepared. They had all the details rocking in their brain. They focused big time. They were determined. And it was a controlled game plan where they knew what they were going to do with the ball before. And not only that, they had the confidence to know the play was going to be made. It was going to be executed. No ifs, ands, or buts. We believe that we're going to get exactly what we know we are. This is the matchup that we're exactly going to dominate. Exactly going to dominate? Absolutely going to dominate. Did you feel that way last year when Carson Wentz was dropping back? I thought, oh, shit. Here we go again. Oh, damn. Not looking through the progressions. And this is coming from someone that had a lot of defending to do with Carson Wentz when he was here. Clear difference. They have swagger to them. Cocky. Attitude. Expectations. Heading into the game with expectations. That's something that was mentioned early in that call. With the expectations, you know, being at a specific point where clearly Jalen Hurts exceeded those, right? The defense exceeded those. I'm living in the moment. This year in its entirety had zero expectations. I'm not going to raise the bar to this wild, uncomfortable level 1 week in because they looked really good. That would be silly of me. That would be foolish. That wouldn't be right. One of the reasons why it was so damn entertaining is because you didn't have the expectations, because there's a lot of unknowns. And guess what? We should be all heading into game two with the same exact questions because teams lose games, a lot of them. But those teams that lose a lot of games also win games. And if you were to look at a three-win team over the years and look at one specific week, and that specific week happened to be the one that they came out victorious, you would have such a false idea of who they are. They were able to accomplish a lot in Atlanta against a team that, quite frankly, their entire organization seems to be heading in the wrong direction, even though they reshaped their front office and all. They're in a weird spot, let's say. That's safe to say. Those same exact questions, we don't know if that's a long-term result consistently from all of these players. I love the leadership. I love the players. I love the buy-in from Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham. Because it's not a shtick. That's why I thought us fans were a little skeptical early on of Nick Sirianni. This is goofy, right? It's a shtick. What's happening here? A high school coach. But it's genuine. It's real. And I'm not going to say who it was, but I kind of understand that idea to a degree. I was speaking to someone who's involved in sports talk radio, and they said the first few times they heard me, they thought it was all a shtick, and it was all nonsense. It felt forced. But then you got to know me, you know who I am, you know my personality, you know my character, and it's not at all. This is real. This is 1,000% Broads. There's nothing fake to it. But when you hear me for the first, second time, you may feel it is sticky until you get to understand a bit more, until you see more of a sample size, until you see how things are handled in adversity situations, in great moments, in poor moments, in trade conversations. However it is on the air, you know, you get a different sense of the personality on the radio. Same with Nick Sirianni. Not a shtick. It's who he is. Corny. Super player friendly, wants to be part of the guys, and there's a connection. There's a correlation between youth and the way that they do respond. It's actually working to their benefit, that young attitude, the young approach, the hunger. That's what it is. This team's hungry. What's the word that Nick Sirianni's utilizing with all the shirts? Dog. They got dog in them. You could see it on the field, no doubt. All right, what's next?
Eagles get the massive win over Atlanta. Man, what a performance by Jalen Hurts. This is Kyler calling from Southern Illinois. And, man, what a performance. You know, defense struggled early on in the first two drives, but, I mean, completely got it together, only holding the Falcons out of the end zone the whole game. Jalen Hurts, my, oh, my. If there was any question about his accuracy, I think that it was answered. Underthrew Hurts a little bit, but overall, happy with their performance. Huge momentum booster going in to these next two tough games. Go Birds.
Go Birds. Thank you so much for the call. The accuracy was not a problem. The touch pass was excellent. See, the problem is, though, with the Dallas Goedert play, we don't really know if he caught the ball, and I'm sure if we put a lie detector on ourselves, it would come out that we all believe he didn't catch it, but there wasn't enough evidence to overturn with the camera angle, and they got lucky with the Zach Ertz one as well. So, I don't know. Full sample size was amazing anyway, but I'm just saying, imagine if that Dallas Goedert play wasn't on the board and we weren't able to talk about it the way that we do, because he rolled to his right. He threw the ball on the run. It's amazing how he improvises, and he picks and chooses the right time to do it. He lives for another day if a play is not there. He doesn't have to play hero ball. There might be times where he does just a little bit, but that's part of the learning curve. He needs to know what he can and cannot do, and you learn by failing. Hey, last time I threw the ball here, this is what happened. Hey, last time I attempted to do this, this is what happened. And it's all the data that you study. It's all about the film. It's all about going back and rewatching and putting in the hours for it. And there's not even a question in this world about how much time Jalen Hurts puts in on all that. It's crazy. I can't even define it. It's not real. That's the thing. Whatever Jalen Hurts has with his leadership qualities, it's sort of like time. You can't see it. You can't feel it. It's just a thing. With Jalen Hurts, this energy that he gives off for everyone to get, well, I don't know, psyched into exactly where he's headed with the mentality. He's got people brainwashed with his damn leadership. How the hell is this happening? I don't know. But I'm here for it. What's next?
Hey, Broads. I have to admit, I was impressed with their win today. You know, going into this game, there wasn't a lot of expectation for the Eagles. I know the Falcons were favored. The Eagles came into Atlanta and did really well. I mean, they were spreading the ball around. They had four different players score today. Jalen Hurts was on it. Really impressive win by the Eagles. First game with Coach Sirianni. It was an impressive win. I think there's some things they can really build off of from this, and I'm excited to see them the rest of the season. Thanks, Brad.
I am really excited for every game at this point as well. There was some fresh blood out there. It was a new sense of urgency. Thank you so much for making the call. A lot of great points, spreading the football around. Devontae Smith, who, this kid's a player. This kid's a player. He's a National Football League wide receiver who knows how to play the position. Think about everything we've been wanting for so damn long. And when you see the accolades of a Heisman-winning trophy player and the season that he had last year and the damage he did in Alabama, the expectations for the individual as a whole, knowing that we need a receiver, we are desperate in that area. Did he look overwhelmed for 1 second? Did he ever look lost? He looked cool as can be. He looked calm. Just like Quez Watkins. Just like Jalen Reagor. Just like anybody else out there. Cool and calm. And it starts with the leadership group. That's the head coach and that's the quarterback. I think they got a great balance right now, too. You know, I brought up Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce. The combination between those who have been involved in a lot of locker rooms before, who've been around a lot of different quarterbacks, whether it's at the Pro Bowl, whether it's just knowing players around the league. You know, I'm sure that when you talk to Russell Wilson, if you're a player in this league and you don't play for Seattle and you speak to a Russell Wilson, you don't play for Green Bay, but you talk to an Aaron Rodgers, you talk to a Drew Brees, they give off this certain vibe. You know instantly the type of leader that they are. And maybe, you know, they saw a lack of certain areas with Carson Wentz, and they can see correlations between the way the best leaders operate in this league and a Jalen Hurts. And that's why these veterans, it's not the only reason, they're veterans and they would do it anyway because there's something about the makeup and the buildup of these players as a whole as it is. But there's a reason why there's an extra kick here. There's a reason why there's an extra sense here. Well, it's moving the rate that it is. While things are being said the way that they're being said about number one. I almost said number two. But no, that's Darius Slay now. And it's still throwing me off that number two and number three are defensively making tackles. It's so damn bizarre. Let's do one more.
Hey, Goomba. You do great. I love your show. This is Paw Paw calling from Georgia. I'm a Philly guy that's been stuck here for 50 fucking years. But I am so happy that the birds look great. And let's go. Let's go, birds.
All right. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the call. Stuck in Georgia. Tough spot to be sports-wise, but in general, from what I'm hearing, Atlanta's booming, and it's an awesome spot to go check out and to go. I guess there's a big difference, though, between visiting and living there, especially if you're a Philadelphia guy at heart and all you care about are the Eagles and these Philadelphia sports teams. So, you know, I could understand the frustration. At the same time, I'm sure it feels great being around town in your Jalen Hurts or Devontae Smith or Miles Sanders jersey while these scrubs out there, although they'll probably hit you with, we don't care about the Falcons anyway. We only care about Georgia football and whatever. They'll sell you garbage because they're really upset inside. But here's what we know. The team played fantastic, and it's so much fun to think about the execution. Went back and rewatched the whole game. Amazing. I just keep going back to amazing, in control, determined, detailed, all on the same page, fundamentals, all bought into the little things. There's a reason why we saw a 26-point win. There's a reason why we saw 32 points on the board. Crazy. All right, before I let you out of here, do you want to get an advantage over your sportsbook? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets. Their best bet computer model scans 350,000 unique bets per year to give you the best bet recommendation for every game across all major sports and gives you the reasoning behind why you should place each bet. Their model covers everything from spreads, over-unders, and player props. There are sharp data so you can see who the pros are backing. Line movements so you can jump on betting opportunities in real time. Team summaries highlighting previous success against the spread and the over-under. And team lineup breaking news with injury status updates. Plus, you can save all your picks in one place to track your success and winning streaks as well as view your rank on their leaderboards. Head to the App Store or Google Play Store now to download BetQL. Enter the discount code BROADS at payment checkout for 25% off any of their subscription offerings. You can find all this information in the description of the video. All right, I want to thank everybody so much for hanging out. Thank you all. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. And I will see you next time.